Okay, chapter 50, The Pillars of Our Faith is the title, Selected Messages, volume 2, page 387, and it says, during the past 50 years of my life, I have had precious opportunities to obtain an experience. I have had an experience in the first, second, and third angels' messages. The angels are represented as flying in the midst of heaven, proclaiming to the world a message of warning and having a direct bearing upon the people living in the last days of this earth's history. That be us. She says, no one hears the voice of these angels, for they are a symbol to represent the people of God who are working in harmony with the universe of heaven. Again, that's us. We proclaim present truth, which is the three angels' message, and the fourth angel, too. Now, we're already into the fourth angel. And she says, men and women, enlightened by the Spirit of God and sanctified through the truth, proclaim the three messages in their order. I have acted a part in this solemn work. Nearly all my Christian experience is interwoven with it. There are those now living who have an experience similar to my own. They have recognized the truth unfolding for this time. They have kept in step with the great leader, capital L, by the way, the captain of the Lord's host. Amen. And then she says, in the proclamation of the messages, every specification of prophecy has been fulfilled. Those who were privileged to act a part in proclaiming these messages have gained an experience which is of the highest value to them. And now, when we are amid the perils of these last days, when voices will be heard on every side saying, here is Christ, here is truth, while the burden of many is to unsettle the foundation of our faith, which has led us from the churches and from the world to stand as a peculiar people in the world, like John, our testimony will be born. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And that's, of course, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. But here, I mean, this is like, and a lot of people don't get this, like, they're thinking the prophecy says we're going to be many antichrists in the last days. And there are. There's a lot of people out there that claim to be Jesus Christ incarnate. I mean, they're popping out of the woodwork. But some people say, well, yeah, but there's only like 10. What, you need more? But still, look at the churches. Look at the churches. And this is always the thing that I've noticed with people that have a real problem with wanting to follow Christ. They come up with this thing like, well, how do you know that you're telling the truth? How do you know that you're the right one? I mean, the guy down the street, he says that too. I says, yeah, but by their fruits you shall know them. Look at the basic outline in Scripture as to what the fruits are for the remnant people of God, or just plain real obedient Christians. If you don't like the word remnant, just replace it with obedient Christians. Because an obedient Christian, just like a remnant Christian, is going to have these fruits. They're going to keep the law, and because they keep the law, they're going to understand prophecy, they're going to have a zeal to put forth, you know, the truth, they're going to share their faith, they're going to tithe, they're going to give love offerings, they're going to stop eating meat, they're going to, you know, there's just a load of things that you'll see, right? But the other tossed coin is this, because all these other churches say, well, come to my church, Jesus is here, Jesus, you know, I look at that as the same way as Jesus saying, when he said, when they say I am here or I am there, okay, granted, it's a lot of times when he speaks in that manner, it could be taken two ways. And this is the way I look at it, okay? This is my own personal opinion, all right? Because there's no clear explanation of this in Scripture, because Jesus stops short on that point, and we, looking through glasses darkly as we do, can't really come up with a thus saith the Lord. Now, Sister White has written 475 books. I've read maybe four. And so she may have said something in this regard, all right? If she does, great, because I've seen this many, many times, and I praise the Lord for a scripture being absolute, because years later I'll find out, well, wow, look at that, Ellen White agrees. I never even knew it. But my point is, when he says that I am here or I am there, don't go there, it's not just when they say that he's physically here, you know, like these false Christs and false prophets that are out there, right? It's also when they say, come to our church, we preach Jesus here, when you know they don't. If they're Sunday keepers, right off the bat, you can't go there. Because I got loved ones, you know, all around the world that more or less say the same thing. Well, there's no churches in our area. There's nowhere to go that believes the way we do, so I just go to a Sunday keeping church for fellowship. I says, all right, well, I'm going to go hang with Satan on the weekend. What's the difference? I'm going to go listen to rock and roll music and let Satan sing to me. Or, I mean, what's the difference? I mean, all these people, they're gentle and kind and loving. And it says, yeah, so were the Catholics when they brought Catholicism into our nation after this nation started when they were, because they were fleeing the guillotines and the stake, when they were burning people to the stake. They're always going to have that lovey-dovey attitude. I mean, have you ever met a Catholic priest that doesn't have a nice, gentle smile on his face as he destroys your life or rapes your child? Because I remember this one guy, that one of the first priests to get caught. His name was Father Norman Mayday. He messed with one of my brothers. I never knew it until I was a Christian and already preaching against the Catholic Church for 15 years. I was already a Sabbath keeper, too. Oh, no, I was still a Sunday keeper when I found out. But because people say, oh, you left the church and attacked it because you were molested. No, I never was touched. One of my brothers were, but I never found out until years later that he was molested by Mayday. That guy got 44 years in jail for that. But it wasn't, Steve never said anything. My brother never said anything about it. But the kids in the neighborhood, I knew about, the kids who were getting attacked by him. And this guy had the most gentle, loving look on his face.
And he talked like this.
Really? That's, he had that, weird voice. Well, that's not weird. It's just, he had a weird, speech impediment or something like that. But anyway, this thing with the, they're saying that Jesus is here or he's there. Like I say, my own personal opinion on this would be, okay, there's a lot of people that say he's there physically. And, of course, right off the bat, you know that those are just strange cults. But then the other ones that are saying, like the Baptists will say, come to our church, Jesus is here. Or the Methodists, come to our church, Jesus is here. I mean, what's the difference between them saying his message is there or saying he's physically there? That's the way I look at it, because they can't possibly know the truth. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So good. It's good to see I'm not alone. Because Yaswant has the same exact opinions, though, how that goes. Because if you look around, that's what they do. But you have to be a Berean. And this is why Fran and I, when we left the Catholic Church, we went to all these other churches, and we used to frequent Baptist churches, but we'd leave after we saw things we didn't like, we'd go to the next one. Because a lot of the Baptist churches in the Chicago area, some of them didn't preach that once in a grace, always in a grace, and some of them didn't preach this, or some of them didn't preach that. So we just couldn't find one. But they were all doing the Sunday thing, they were all doing the Christmas thing, they were all doing all this other strange stuff, So anyway, she goes on to say, I testify the things which I have seen, the things which I have heard, the things which my hands have handled the word of life. And this testimony I know to be of the Father and the Son. We have seen and do testify that the power of the Holy Ghost has accompanied the presentation of the truth, warning with pen and voice, and giving the messages in their order. To deny this work would be to deny the Holy Ghost and would place us in the company who have departed from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. And that's all the churches, including the SDA Church now. And yes, the SDA Church is giving heed to seducing spirits. They're preaching everything from Trinity to opening. And yet, I just got another article today about a Sunday-keeping General Conference church. It's in a different country, but again, I mean, there's scores of them now that are keeping Sunday holy. This is why the Seventh-day Adventist Church officially dropped the seventh day from their online titles. You go to their websites, and it says Adventist Church everywhere. No, there's a reason for that. So, but yeah, and that's the thing. Now, here's the thing, like what Catherine just said. Fran and I, my wife, we couldn't find a Sabbath-keeping church either. And we hopped and hopped. Well, we didn't hop anywhere. There was nowhere to go. And so we started a home church. And we just, on Sabbath, I would teach and preach, and the kids would have questions, and it was amazing. I loved it because the kids had questions, and I'd be up there 3-4 hours, and my wife would have to go, wait a second, we got to eat, but, whatever. But, and sometimes the neighbor's kids would come over, and some of my friends that I met on the street, like the one that died, his name was Bruce, he used to come over, and he'd bring people. He was a very evangelistic type person. And I met him on the street one day, handed him a tract about the Mark of the Beast. And this is before I even put it in tract form. It was just, I gave him like 5 or 6 pages. I says, I don't know. I gave him, the Lord told me to give this to you. And he didn't know me. I didn't know him. And then we became best friends. And it was a blessing to have him. I preached his funeral. It was the second funeral I ever did. And it was difficult because I broke down. I started weeping like a little schoolgirl out there. But I was able to control myself in about 30 seconds or a minute. Got back to it. But this is part of the test, though, Catherine. It's just like with, you don't need group prayer. You don't need group prayer. I mean, you could do that with us, of course, and the fellowship, you could do that with us, too. This is our fellowship right now, and as well as on after Sabbath, the church services tomorrow, we hang out for like a half an hour, And plus, we are planning and we're hoping, but because of the economy, most people can't do it. I've been saying this for years, and Bonnie keeps on bothering me about this, but the convocations, we have gatherings. We did one in Indiana, but it was a flop. I mean, we had like 100 people join us online, but we had, I think 15 people that came offline. And then if you count all my kids, I had 8 of my kids were there with their husbands and their kids, and so we had quite a group, but it was mostly me, my family. And so it didn't work out. And that's what we want to have. We want to have another one, but because of what's going on here, and some of you know about, the trials that we're going through here where we have to be here 3 days a week, and so Fran and I can't leave. We'd have to do the convocation in Indiana. And if everybody was okay with that, we'll do it. Because I will just get that building that we rented before, $100 for the whole weekend. That was it. It was a county building that you could use as a church. Had a kitchen and everything in there. But, yeah, if you all want to do it in Indiana again, I'm all for it. Oh, yes, you're already here. But that would be nice for us to do it again. We'll start praying on that. Oh, wow, I didn't know you were that close. Praise the Lord, Mindy. But what was I getting at when I was talking about there a minute ago? Anyway, 12-hour drive. Ooh. Yeah. See, that's the thing, like what Dennis said, because, with the economy and that, it's just very difficult for some people. I mean, we'd still do the chat, but only if they have internet there. When we did the convocation back then, we had somebody that was part of our number that had a satellite dish, and we hooked it up. But the problem was, when it came time for me to preach, I set the whole thing, the Lord helped me set the whole thing up, and when it came for my time to preach, when I did my PowerPoint animation and everything like that with this projector that I had, the rain that came in from, I don't think it was Katrina, it was this hurricane, I think it was Hugo or something, but by the time we had our convocation, the rain was headed to Indiana, it was going to hit, and when it was my time to speak, the rain was so intense and so heavy, the chat room, no one could hear me, I was gone. I mean, everybody in the chat room stayed in there, but I was gone. Yeah. So anyway, continuing. This next section is titled Confidence Assailed. And she says, the enemy, well, now, this is something that a lot of us are going through, myself included. You get these dry spells, okay? Now, I think this is where she's going to go with this, but let's just see. She says, the enemy will set everything in operation to uproot the confidence of the believers in the pillars of our faith in the messages of the past, which have placed us beyond or upon the elevated platform of eternal truth, and which have established and given character to the work. And this is one of the reasons we have to structure this church properly. If this is going to be the final church, which I hope and pray it is, it has to be structured exactly the way the scriptures say. And this is the best to the my ability that I need help to try to understand this stuff too. So, and so we're working on that. But she goes on, she says, the Lord God of Israel has led out his people, unfolding to them truth of heavenly origin. His voice has been heard and is still heard, saying, go forward from strength to strength, from grace to grace, from glory to glory. The work is strengthening and broadening, for the Lord God of Israel is the defense of his people. And so, yeah, so even if they come against us and they're, because there's people out there that used to be part of our number that attack us on a regular basis and it's not affecting us in the least bit. The church is growing. The work is, like I said, just doubled recently again. We've got over 750 people out there passing out tracts, DVDs, booklets, I mean, all of it. And not to mention the, what we get like 1 to 1.5 million hits every week on the website, on the main site. And the other sites, they get a fair amount now too. And we're censored on top of that. Like Google censors us. and other ones, especially AOL. AOL was the first. But anyway, she says, those who have a hold of the truth theoretically with their fingertips, as it were, who have not brought its principles into the inner sanctuary of the soul, but have kept the vital truth in the outer court, will see nothing sacred in the past history of this people, which has made them what they are, and has established them as earnest, determined missionary workers in the world. In other words, kind of like lip service people, you know? Because a lot of people out there that claim to be Christians, and they'll get so far with their walk, but it just, that's about it, man. I mean, they're not going to, what, quit my job? No, you know, stuff like that. You know, they'll, you know, they won't. I remember one time I couldn't find a job for 16 straight months. I had a wife, 8 kids, and a teenager living with us, 3 dogs, 18 cats, but they were outside, of course. They were on that farm, you know, 5 acres, $100 a month. And no one would hire me because I wouldn't work Sabbath. 16 months. Didn't have to. And we were not on welfare because we wanted to see the Lord's hand move, and it moved. It was amazing how he did it. And so, anyway, she says, the truth for this time is precious, but those whose hearts have not been broken by falling on the rock, Christ Jesus, will not see and understand what is truth. They will accept that which pleases their ideas and will begin to manufacture another foundation than that which is laid. They will flatter their own vanity and esteem, thinking that they are capable of removing the pillars of our faith and replacing them with pillars they have devised. And that's what we see today, like even with the new Seventh-day Adventist Church. The way, and I say new, oh good, look, she's going to talk about this, but we're not going to be able to get into this tonight. But let me finish this chapter and I'm going to read the title, and you'll know what I'm talking about with this next title. She says, this will continue to be as long as time shall last. Anyone who has been a close student of the Bible will see and understand the solemn position of those who are living in the closing scenes of this earth's history. They will feel their own inefficiency and weakness, and will make it their first business to have not merely a form of godliness, but a vital connection with God. And this is what we got to get to. This is why I say we need a revival in the church. Now, there's a lot of you that are already gotten there, you know, where that the revival in the heart, but you want to go further, don't you? I know I do. And because there's sometimes you feel like you're lukewarm. You feel like you're dragging your feet. But you know your Lord's there. You know your Father's there. You know you're not doing anything wrong to the best of your ability. And you know when you do mess up, you ask for forgiveness and he gives it to you because, you know, we're going to be sinning all the time. He's going to bring it to our remembrance. You know, well, not with the scriptures. What I mean is, like, you find out you're doing sin in one area and you quit it, and everything's going great for a while, and then all of a sudden he reveals to you that, look, you got to knock this off too. And so you quit that. And that's what I mean. You're never really going to stop sinning until that eastern sky splits. And then the devil won't have any control over you after that point. And so it won't matter. Those things won't come to mind because the devil won't be throwing them at you. So she goes on, she says, they will not dare to rest until Christ is formed within the hope of glory. And this is why we continue to say in our hearts, Father, we're undone. Help us in our unbelief. And she says, self will die, pride will be expelled from the soul, and they will have the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. And this is where we got to go. This is where we got to get to if we want to be part of that Gideon band. And I'm only going to read the title of this next section. And if somebody wants to make a note of this, this is where we're going to start next week. That it's going to be in no new organization, but I'll put it in the, in of course the chat room link here. But this next section is about no new organization, and I don't know how many times I have gotten Seventh-day Adventists to come up to me and says, "Look, Sister White specifically said no new organization." I said, "Really? Thank you for confirming that what we're doing is right." I said, "Whoa, wait a second here. What are you talking about? I just told you that that Ellen White says you cannot start a new denomination. You guys have started a new denomination. You can't do that." Sister White says you can't do this. I says, "Thank you again for confirming what we're doing the right thing." And you know, I explained to them after they settle down. You know, usually in email, it's rather quickly. I says, "We didn't start a new organization at all. If you look at the original statement of faith of the SDA Church and you look at the statement of faith of the Seventh-day Remnant Church, it's a perfect match, letter for letter, word for word. But if you look at the Seventh-day Adventist Church today and the original statement of faith, not the same. The Seventh-day Adventist Church started a new church from within using the old name. And then they sue people that use their name now. All right? And so, we didn't start the new denomination. They did. We just adopted the new name Because, number one, they'll sue us. Number two, look at Revelation 12:17. It says we are the remnant of her seed. To call ourselves Seventh-day Adventists now would be associating ourselves with apostasy, and everybody knows it. Everything from sanctioning homosexual marriage at Loma Linda on camera, to scores of Sunday-keeping churches, to using chemo at Loma Linda, to saying the health message is quackery. I mean, I got a whole list of things at on this SDAapostasy.org site that shows that if we use the name SDA, people are going to go, well, then get away from me. I don't want nothing to do with you. But when we say we're Seventh-day Remnant, it's easier to explain when you say Revelation 12:17. Because the Seventh-day Adventist Church was the Ninth Hour Movement, but they got corrupted. And then a remnant of her seed was called to finish the work in the 11th hour. That's us. And I praise God for that. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared. I'll be back in a minute.